are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
We're talking about Scripture today, and the passage that we're about to read is one that I love. It ranks really among my favorites, even though for some reason it's not one of the ones that I turn to when I think about quoting Scripture, when I'm looking for Scripture to quote. And the passage that we're reading today is called the Magnificat. It's Mary's song of praise to God. It speaks to God's faithfulness, not only to Mary, but to the lowly, the hungry, and God's people. Mary sings this song after she's told by an angel that she is pregnant and while visiting her family member, Elizabeth. Now, you may remember from a couple weeks ago, or you may not, that Elizabeth was similarly miraculously pregnant, carrying the child that we would eventually know as John the Baptist. So it's amongst these two women, with their miracles that they are bearing, that this song unfolds. When Mary arrives, Elizabeth feels this and says, "The child in my womb leaped for joy." And in this moment, Mary sings the incredible song. Let's listen now to the words of the Mother of God. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." Hallelujah. Amen. What a beautiful reflection on who God is. She rejoices in God's favor for her, the blessing that she received from God. She celebrates the good presence of God in her life. But she doesn't stop there, not just what God has done for her. No, she understands that God's grace is not just hers. God's work is not only for her, but for all. God's mercy for generations, according to the promise he made to our ancestors. And then she gets fiery in the same way that all of the best prophets do. God scatters the proud and brings down the powerful. God lifts up the lowly, feeds the hungry, sends the rich away empty. Prophetic. It's awesome. And like I said, it's one of my favorites. But when I want to talk about God's call for justice, I'll quote Micah 6:8. "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God?" When I want to talk about God's love and call for us to serve the dispossessed, I talk about Matthew 25. "Whenever you've done this to the least of these, you've done also to me." But I don't quote this one. I don't say he has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. No, I don't. And I want to know why. Why don't I think about that one? No, unfortunately, I actually think I know the answer to this question, why I don't quote this. So think about every Christmas pageant you've ever seen. You have the angels appearing and announcing. You have the shepherds quaking and seeking. The wise men, they journey, they gift, they declare their fealty to the God that is with us. I mean, heck, even the innkeeper gets to say there's no room in the inn, right? Like, but what does Mary say? I'll give you a rundown of a comprehensive list of Mary's lines in most Christmas pageants. Are you ready? Yeah, that's about it. She's the silent mother. While everybody stops by, hey, Mary, and sits there and talks at her about her baby. So why don't I think about the Magnificat when I think of the fire of the prophets? Why don't I think about quoting it when I talk about God casting down the proud and powerful? It's because we really like to make it so that Mary doesn't count. It's true in our pageants, and it's true in our music. So I Googled the best Christmas songs, and I looked at the list of Christmas songs, and I went through the lyrics thinking, what can I learn? What can you teach me about Mary, these songs that we love so dearly? So, O Holy Night, we have the angels, we have the wise men, we have Jesus, no Mary. Silent Night does have Mary in it, and turns out it can teach us that she's a virgin and has a child. In the bleak midwinter, we know that she's blissful and gave her baby a kiss. Hark the herald angels sing. I'm going to give a pass because it's really just about angels singing, so I don't know what I was expecting there. And O come all ye faithful, angels again, no Mary. O little town of Bethlehem lets us know that Mary is Jesus' mom, which is helpful. Once in Royal David City, tells us about how mild Mary is. And Away in a Manger is frankly more concerned with what the cows are lowing than what Mary has to say about it. It's good to know where the ranking is there. So what do we sing about when we sing about Mary? She's mild, virginal, and a mom. That's pretty much it. She did kiss a baby once, so we know that. Now, if I were to describe Mary based on those songs, mild, virginal, mom, but if I were to describe her based on the Magnificat, I wouldn't use the word mild at all. At the very least, I would say medium, but probably spicy, right? But seriously, when we sing about Mary, when we sing about Christmas, we sing more about the percussion section that was in the manger than the person who did the actual work of giving birth. Though at least in the little drummer boy, she did nod at him, so we know that she was there. And then we come to the showcase of Mary. Right, what's the Christmas song? Mary's in the title. It's the Big Mary Song. Mary, did you know? Really? Really? Come on, yes, yes, Mary moved, Mary knows, move on. Stop making Mary look like an idiot just because you want to prove how much you know about Jesus. Like, come on, people. Mary was the first person to know about how special Jesus would be. She told us if we just listened. But we won't. We won't because we have this visual of a quiet little mother. And that makes us feel a lot better than some teenage girl prophesying about how God is going to wrest control from the powerful and exalt the lowly. That makes us uncomfortable. Because Mary needs to be a vessel, not a prophet. We need her to be an empty slate so we can write our mythology about some painless, perfect birth that happened on Christmas Eve. And in this way, we intentionally erase, we intentionally forget the things that made Mary so incredible. What that does is it bleaches the reality of the Christmas story. It domesticates the revolutionary nature of what happened in Bethlehem on that night. We don't want to think about Christmas that way. We don't want Jesus causing labor pains. We don't want to think about Jesus as hurting somebody, no. Because we think that a perfect baby is preferable to a real human. But as the ethicist and theologian Nancy Duff says in her reflections on Mary, romanticized images of the baby Jesus, undisturbed by the sounds of the animals that surround him, cannot muffle the cries of labor, conceal the pain and bloodiness of giving birth, or make acceptable the scandal of delivering a child in a place intended for the feeding and sheltering of animals. When we try to muffle those sounds, we lose the beauty and the power and the wisdom of Mary, the mother of Jesus. We throw out the mother with the bathwater. So I'm Presbyterian. I'll say that. I'm in a Presbyterian church. I'm Presbyterian. I'm very Presbyterian. And in the spirit of the Reformed tradition, I don't have candles of saints on my mantelpiece. One of the outcomes of the Reformation is that we no longer ask for intercession from the official canonized saints. We don't pray to them. We recognize instead that we're all saints and we're all sinners and none of us better or worse in the eyes of a merciful and loving God. And I like that. I like that a lot. But sometimes I wonder if we've maybe overcorrected. Then when we call everybody a saint and put everybody on the same plane, we lose some of the spark that is inspired in us from the exemplars of our faith. And it's because of that that I think maybe we've lost track of who Mary is. Well, the Catholics, I think, really have her on some firm footing here. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. I know there are some Catholics or former Catholics who are in this room or watching on YouTube who were mouthing those words behind their masks as I was saying them. I think that's a good thing. I think maybe we should take a step in that direction, because if we make sure to lift Mary up as an example, then we can actually see the example that she set. A few years ago, I had the distinct honor of performing a wedding for two friends of mine. They are both very Catholic, but they asked me to perform the ceremony. And I worked with them together on finding a wedding service that could kind of thread the needle, you know, Presbyterian, Catholic. I'm not a priest, so it's a lot that I don't know. But as part of the service, they asked to include a time of veneration for Mary. Now, I had no experience with this. I had no idea of this. I didn't ever even attend a wedding in which this happened. But I talked with them, and we talked together, and I learned about what they were looking for. And they provided words for me to use in the service that I want to share with you all. We now ask that you join in a few moments of quiet reflection as we honor Mary, the Mother of God and co-redeemer of the world. When Mary chose to say yes to the call of God in her life, she did so knowing that she would face ridicule and ostracization in her community and church. She trusted in God and found strength and support in family like Elizabeth, who rejoiced with her, friends like Joseph, who trusted her, and even strangers like Simeon and Anna, who recognized the holiness of her life. Mary is an example of holiness, yes, but also of trust, courage, and humble, unapologetic confidence required to live authentically, and of the miracles brought to life when we choose to follow her example. That is the Mary that I want to see in the manger. A woman who responds to God's call, who knows the adversity that it will cause, and has the courage and bravery to follow through on this, whose faithfulness then gives her words to declare powerful, prophetic, important truths about God. A woman who brought miracles to life and inspires us to do the same. Now, I had never venerated Mary before, and I'm not saying that we are to worship Mary. It's not our tradition, and when we try to fit things into our neat little box, though, of our traditions, we lose something vital, so we overcorrect. We don't need to worship Mary, but we do need to celebrate her. We need to learn from her, to replicate her faith and courage and wisdom. When the angel came to Mary, she was perplexed, according to Luke. And so I hope we can learn from Mary to keep wonder, that we can be perplexed by God's inscrutable plans and wonder in awe at what God is doing. When the angel told Mary that she was going to be pregnant, she was questioning, how can this be? So we can learn from Mary to question, not accepting blindly what we're told, but to ask questions, seek to understand, hope to learn. And then when in response, the angel told her that nothing is impossible with God, she declared, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord." And so we learn from her. Learn that in the wondering, in the awe, in the perplexity, the confusion, the questions, the adversity, the trials, we are here, servants of the Lord. Her song, the Magnificat, starts with her declaring her lowliness. But then from now on, all generations will call her blessed. In that moment, she was blessed and will always be. In the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. But in this beginning, there was Mary's words. Even before Jesus was born, his ministry was taking shape through the words of his mother. This is not the Mary that we know. The Mary in the songs who nods and smiles and kisses and kneels. This is the Mary who sets the world on fire. The Mary who taught her son, who taught Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught him that God's strength is found in humility, that God lifts up the lowly. The rich are sent away empty, the hungry are fed, the powerful must be brought low. God's love and mercy and promises are for all generations. If she taught Jesus that, if our lives are declared as servants to a God who learned that from her, then how can we ever dream of ignoring her ever again? Let us pray. Loving, merciful, and present God, we give thanks for the saints you have sent to us, for the exemplars of faith. Kindle in us a love for their words and their work. Help us to see them as they were, not as we are told they were supposed to be. We give thanks especially for your daughter, Mary, beloved child, mother of God. We give thanks for her fire, for her prophecy, for her love and her faithfulness. And we ask that you instill in us a zeal for your word that echoes hers. We give thanks that in this season we wait. We wait for the coming of your son. We wait for a baby. Emmanuel, God with us. And we ask that you remind us and continue to remind us that in this season we are not just waiting for a baby. We are waiting for a woman to give birth and bring God into this world. Amen.